The other night, as I lay in bed, through my window screen, I listened to a barred owl calling in the maple woods. I was reminded of an owl I encountered years ago. At the time, I was working as a park ranger on the Namekagon River of northwestern Wisconsin. It's an intimate and shallow river for most of its length, barely wide and deep enough to float a canoe below Namekagon Lake, where it begins. Picking up steam with creeks and smaller rivers, it eventually empties into the St. Croix River along the Minnesota border, 100 meandering miles from its source. I found that the campsites along the river needed work. Many were in eroded areas up steep sand banks. Some were too close together. Some long stretches of river had no campsites. I spent days paddling a canoe and hiking with map in hand, finding the best campsite locations. Always, the campsite materials had to be hauled to the site via canoe. Sometimes I had another ranger to help me, or my wife came along, and sometimes a state conservation crew of young adults gave me a hand. Often it was just me and a canoe loaded with items such as a metal fire ring, fiberglass toilet, concrete mix, shovel, drill, chainsaw, sledgehammer, and post-hole digger. I could barely squeeze in with my lunchbox. It was on one of these solo trips, after my campsite work was done, that I was coming around a bend in the river in a slow current when I spotted an owl on shore. I sat in the canoe staring at this full-grown barred owl, which didn't move as I approached. Thinking that it must be injured and unable to fly, I quietly used my paddle to ease the canoe next to it. It didn't budge an inch. It seemed alert, but I reckoned that it must be injured to not fly away as most birds would. All of a sudden, in one quick move, it hopped onto the bow of the canoe. I was stunned. It stared at me to the point where I had to break eye contact. I examined the spot on the riverbank where it had been and didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I looked back at the owl, and it was still staring at me. I thought, well, I'll just float down the river with this here owl, and when I get to the canoe landing, I'll see if I can throw my jacket over it and take it to the Raptor Rehabilitation Center in the Twin Cities. But just then, the owl spread its wings, took a jump, and was off, headed upriver, right over my head. I turned and watched until it was out of sight, flying low and strong, a few feet above the water, then gaining altitude. I continued floating downstream, thinking this over in my head. Was this a sign of an imminent death, as in Indian legend? Was it a visit from a wise old soul passed on to the other side? Perhaps it saw no harm in me, or maybe I just looked like some odd-shaped floating tree limb. The experience stayed in my head the rest of the evening. The next day I had more work at that campsite, putting in steps up the bank to minimize human-caused erosion. For this, I used nearby downed trees, which I sawed and debarked, drilled holes for rebar, and with a sledgehammer pounded the anchors into the ground as deep as possible. I thought about that owl as I worked on the campsite, looking and listening for it. Finished with my work, I headed downstream and approached that same spot in the river. When I came around the bend, I saw something along shore, a barred owl. As far as I could tell, it was in the same spot and had to be the same owl. I repeated yesterday's actions and nosed the canoe up to where it was. This time, it quickly jumped on the bow, and I instinctively backed offshore and began floating downriver. Once again, I couldn't see anything in that spot or nearby that raised any suspicion or reason for it lingering there. I turned to the owl, and it was staring at me again, kind of like a cat will, until it gets bored with you. However, this owl did not appear bored. It looked at me, then it looked at the river, and at the shore moving by. It almost seemed to enjoy the ride. Maybe that was it. It actually wanted to see what it was like to float down the river. Maybe it had watched so many canoes float the river, ducks float the river, even fish float the river. It wanted to float the river too. I was now more like the owl's boatman, and I wondered how odd it would look if someone were to see us as we floated along, ranger and owl. As I began to hope this would happen, it crouched, jumped up, and mightily flapped against the force of gravity. Upriver it flew, low and strong above the water. I was now mesmerized by the whole of the 2-day experience. I felt like in a trance, raised above the river, looking down at my canoe floating, slowly turning as it kept pace with the current, looping around bends, gently bobbing in riffles, lightly grounding in the shallows, spinning around, grabbed again by the current. I felt part of the river, its dancing submerged water plants, otters poking their heads out of the water in deep pools, the great blue heron playing tag as it keeps moving lazily downriver, only to rise again as I approached. Only when the canoe landing appeared, maybe 20 minutes later, did I snap out of it. I loaded my gear in the truck and headed for home, jerked back into real time. Traveling the river after this experience, I never saw an owl, except maybe just an evening image of something flying large and low in the trees. I often heard one calling in the evening and wondered if the owl I heard could be the one that hitched a ride on my canoe. The naturalist Sigurd Olsen, as a young man, roamed this river and its woods, often returning later in life, as to a friend, he wrote. He would have smiled and loved my owl story, knowing how these things happen when you're quiet and observant.